free ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From a beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again. You have got to be kidding me. Tyson Stiff.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the NBL Pocket Podcast. My name is Joseph Corr from Stats Perform Media in Sydney. Pleasure to have you with us. No Andrew today. Normally, I have a running mate, Andrew Canyon. Hasn't happened. I'm just going to go it alone. Scheduling conflict is the issue. My scheduling conflict. But today, we're talking about NBL 21, the round that was. I'm recording this on Tuesday, May 4th. Here are some of the topics. And this week, because we're getting to that stage in the season where we're kind of, you know, three quarters of the way through, maybe a bit more, we're just hanging out for the finals at this point, or closer to the finals. These topics go everywhere. We're talking about Luke Longley and the Kings, talking about Tyler Harvey's MVP case. I've got a nice list for you for guys who are bang for your buck if you're an NBL manager. Colton Iverson and his effectiveness so far this season in this last little patch. We're going to be talking about Cotton and the Wildcats, Ding, Adele and his departure, Jack McVay, roster rumors, Will Magnay being the big one. And then I'm going to have a good look, a preview of next round's games. I think they're important, and indeed the games that are on tonight and tomorrow. And then I've got a couple of funny stories for you. And then a little something about NBL media and how this season is playing out, because it's been an odd one. It's been a tough one to follow. Before all that, if you want to buy a copy of Marvelous, I've got a couple left. I forget how many, three or four. And great handbook on the lead written by Buddy Nodge, who's a multi-time award winner as far as NBL Writer of the Year. Great look at where this league once was, and this season has been a difficult one with COVID, with the import restrictions, and so it's good to see how the league has adjusted to conflict in the past, and there's certainly been conflict within the 40-some year history of the NBL. With that out of the way, let's jump in. Let's go to our first topic. Luke Longley and hanging out with the Sydney Kings. I saw a photograph. He's done this for a while. This is not new thing. He's been a part of that organization for quite some time, and I just find it such a weird fit. I don't know why I'm leading off the program with this, but why not? Luke Longley, an outwardly private, shy guy, has been hanging with the most combative and gregarious team and owner in domestic basketball. And listen, I know Perth quite well. Perth people only appear casual. Okay, and to steal a line from my favorite TV show growing up, The OC, I think Ryan, the main character, gets a job at the Shrimp Shack, and the guy who works there, who's also from sort of the wrong side of the tracks, goes Newport Beach, where people drink $100 bottles of red wine out of paper cups to appear casual. And I think Perth's a little bit like that. That's not a slight on Perth. That's just an honest observation of decades over there. I've been thinking about putting together a video on Longley, sort of a short viral, anywhere from, you know, 3 to 10 minutes, because I think if you took the rose-tinted glasses off his career as, you know, those common narratives that surround him, the first Australian drafted in the NBA, three titles with Jordan and the Bulls, and his Olympic accomplishments, I think if you strip all that back, I think his story is one of workplace bullying, being pinned to the pine in his prime, say that five times fast, and then also his injury frustrations, but mainly the being benched down the stretch of big games. You look at those 98 finals, he very seldom plays in the game, and then also very seldom in the last 5 minutes, which, if you're an athlete and have an ego about yourself, which every athlete does, including Longley, you want to be on in those moments. And you look back at the 98 series, I haven't had a chance to go 97 and 6, but he wasn't there. And I guess maybe because of those sort of jibes, that's why he likes, or those pains, that's why he likes working for the stick-it-to-the-man muckraking Kings. And I don't think they'd have a problem with me describing them like that. I think they project that image quite consciously. And but we'll never know, because Sydney and the Kings don't talk to the media. Two things, though. if people listening are offended and, oh, Luke Longley, I don't know him personally, but I feel like I do, I'd say two things. Firstly, listen to Longley on the Howie Games podcast, really good podcast with, I think, Mark Howard is his name. Longley, when pressed on a couple of issues, gets pretty prickly, which I don't know if that's in character or out of character. And then the second thing I'd say, and I'll put a link in the description of this, watch on YouTube the last 2 minutes of the 94-95 Eastern Conference Finals between the Chicago Bulls and the Orlando Magic, the series, the forgotten series, in which Chicago actually lose. Didn't do a lot of that. This one they lost. Longley, he chokes on a play in the clutch. He gets hit and fouled, but he goes up with some pretty soft stuff. And when it's the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 6, it's all on the line, you got to go up to dunk it. And he went up to place it in the basket like he was putting a can on a top shelf in his cupboard. Weak stuff. When he walks to the bench after missing that play, he is a man alone. Jordan has cut him off. Him and Tex Winter, they start fighting. Longley is on an island to himself. No one on that team has got his back whatsoever. But don't feel too bad for this guy. He got paid, so he'll be fine. I'll put the link in the description of that video. And, well, we're 5 minutes in, and that's where we've started. But let's go to NBL 21. Tyler Harvey's MVP case. I've just come off watching the Illawarra Hawks beat the Breakers. And again, what is becoming all too common in NBL 21, a low-scoring performance. But Harvey, let's have a look at him. MVP case. He's fifth in points per game, and he's at the fourth highest clip of the top five candidates. And in there is, you know, I think it's Cotton and Creek and, you know, the usual names that are up there. I haven't finished my pros for his MVP case, but I'm going to go to a negative. Doesn't do a lot else statistically. Not a huge assist guy, not a huge rebound guy. He's a scorer. But let's keep going. He's 25th in PER, player efficiency rating. But important to note, his team, the Illawarra Hawks, is third last in scoring, only ahead of Cairns and the Breakers, who occupy the bottom two spots. And they're only 1.1 points per game off the bottom. I didn't see what they are off the top, but they are a long way off the pace to be a high-scoring team. I didn't get the chance to see what percentage of his team's points he scores. But in this last game against the Breakers, I think he scored, you know, 29 points of 75 or something, almost 40% of the team's score. The guy's a freak. And also, you know, when you factor in these statistical things, they're seventh in pace, which is, again, third last. This is not a team that scores a lot, and he does a lot of it for them. The offensive pressure on this guy is huge. He's forced into so many bad shots late in the shot clock. His team's offensive output around him is very average. Justin Simon, defender. Nah, can't shoot. Jessup is up and down like a yo-yo. Frolling, not bad. AJ Ogilvie, hurt. Bairstow, hurt. Adele, atrocious. Formerly Adele, RIP. Quick departure. I mentioned Emmett Nahr. Emmett Nahr had that 0.13 assist game, and it was highlighted by NBL Stats on Twitter. And, you know, it's a rare anomaly to have 0 points and 13 assists, and it's kind of cool. And people were saying that was a big game for him. He got, 7 or 8 minutes in this game, and I actually thought that that game spelt his doom. This team doesn't need a guy who's going to, after Harvey's drawn a double team or gotten to the paint, you know, then kick it on and rotate it. If you're going to, I think Gorgian even says, if you're going to be out there and just be a rotation guy, I may as well have someone out there who's 6'8", 6'9". And that's what happened now. We have these lineups of Simon, Ding, who else was out there? Bigger win player, Jess was out there. Okay. So these few guys, Emmett Nahr just doesn't, he doesn't fit. I don't like the fit with Emmett Nahr. And that's not to say he's a bad player, but the fit's not right. And that's why he played less, I think. Unless there's an injury I haven't heard of. But NBL injuries, I mean, throw a dart at the dartboard. You never know what they're announcing, when they're going to announce it. They just give any injury in the NBL as a middle finger to the fans. They don't tell you. But that's a little word on Emmett Nahr. But going back to Harvey, I mean, he's just a huge part of this team. And they're 13 and 14. I thought they were going to finish out of the four. They still may, but I thought they were going to finish lower. I didn't like this roster, and Harvey's carrying them. Gorgian had them ready so that they're, you know, they kind of jump teams to start the season, but gee, 75% of their success is on Harvey. He's been brilliant. adding to his MVP case, but taking a slight departure. I got a list for you. This is called the bang for your buck list. And here are the names, and then I'll tell you their relevance to each other. Bryce Cotton, John Mooney, Casper Ware, Ben Moore, Justin Simon, Colton Iverson. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, get in touch with me at Twitter or on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod or Facebook, Instagram. I believe they're the only imports not to have missed a game. Harvey has missed one, but let's put that missed game in context. He's 10th in minutes in the league and he's 8th in usage rate. So when you look at, you know, Cotton and Mooney, big usage guys, okay, they've been incredibly durable. Casper Ware's in that one as well. Ben Moore, he's fouled out of most games, doesn't play anywhere near the minutes, doesn't have anywhere near the usage rate. Justin Simon, same thing again. He hasn't got the same pressure on him that Harvey does. And then Colton Iverson, well, he may as well have sat out the first quarter of the season. He was barely playing at all. So Harvey's being banged for their buck. And when you're the Hawks, a small spend team, a regional team, it was critical. And Harvey's been one of the real bright spots of this season. I think the resurgence of Casper Ware, him, John Mooney, they've been the standouts this year. They've been the places where they've, you know, this league has improved. And I think Harvey hopefully sets a precedent, and I think an affordable one for NBL teams going forward. Tyler Harvey is 27 years old. He shows what happens when NBL managers and management don't chase fading NBA stars in their 30s, early to mid-30s, your Donald Sloans, your Orlando Johnsons to a slightly lesser degree. Instead of chasing those guys, go after guys who are lesser names but pros in their prime and who are okay with the ego hit of not playing in the NBA. Guys with the mindset of, okay, I'm going to do my best, always have the NBA, you know, around, but I'm okay earning $200,000 plus each season for half a year's work, be the best that I can be, get into real estate, computers, Bitcoin. Hey, maybe Australia works for me long term. They're the type of guys you got to try and get. Cotton is a echelon above that. He's a guy you pay three times as much to keep around. But your Harveys, your Casper Wares, these are the guys who are going to make the league sustainable year on year because they seem to want to kind of hang around. Long, that's a well-treaded territory. I'm not breaking any rules by saying that. Let's jump on. Colton Iverson. Another guy, an import on track to play every game. Bless him. Listen to these numbers. 9.5 points per game, 8.6 rebounds per game, a defensive rating of 106.2. It's pretty good. On paper, Iverson looks okay, but I just saw too many times pick and roll on Harvey. He's trailing the play. He's kind of in the drops, and then Harvey gets a wide open three. That was the game I just watched, but it's happened in a lot of games. I just think in the NBL, when you need to be, your players need to be such hatchet men. They need to be across positions because there's so many holes on these rosters. You need switchy bigs who can play out there. Your John Mooney's not a great example, but your Ben Moore's, not that they've been particularly good defensively either, but you know, your Mitch Creek, your players who can get across positions and to use an import slot on a big, slow white guy. Bless Colton Iverson, but that's what he is. I don't think anyone would say he's certainly not white. He's certainly not slow, and he's certainly not big. To use that input spot, to use that currency on that, I think is a mistake. You can get that out of some Australian guy who's hanging around, your AJ Ogilvy types. They're around. But when you've got that import currency, you got to spend it. And I don't think Iverson's that guy. And I think the Breakers would agree with me. I'd be very interested to see if they bring him back. I doubt it. They haven't had the year they wanted, and it's a shame to see him alongside Patterson, that biggish four. I don't know what their plans were. I don't even think things would have been very different had Patterson decided to come to NBL 21 with a seriousness. But let's go back to Iverson. So you look at those numbers, 9.5 points, 8.6 rebounds. Bogut, last season, Mr. NBL second team, and everyone defended this. And I feel bad taking shots at other people, but I'll dial it back a bit. Bogut, NBL second team with 8.5 points per game, 8.8 rebounds per game, and a defensive rating slightly better at 100.4. Iverson's was 106.2. You got to remember as well, Bogut missed three games. Iverson's on track to play all of them. Iverson's impact has been similar to Bogut's. Drops coverage, doesn't switch on screens. So is Iverson going to get an NBL second team? I don't think so. he's having a similar year to Bogut. Bogut had some games like Iverson where he was played off the floor. I don't think anyone was looking at Bogut thinking, oh, what are we going to do? I certainly don't think the Wildcats were looking at him going, oh, my God, we got to change our closing five lineup. No, it was always Kay, Wagstaff, so on and so forth. And that was most teams against him. Big seven-footers in the NBL, I'm not getting it. But I mean, going back to Bogut on this one, I mean, Iverson and Bogut, basically the same player. They were at that stage in Bogut's career. But, gee, Bogut has all of Australian basketball shook up. Either the media side are kind of suckling up to him, saying nice things to get an interview or a selfie or, oh, you know, Bogut knows me. Or they cower away because he's so vocal. I don't want to say fearless. I guess you could call him fearless, but he's certainly vocal. And people are afraid of that. Let's not kid around. But I'm going to be one of the few people ringing that cowbell. He shouldn't have been NBL second team last year. That was one on reputation, and I'm happy to give it to him on reputation. But if we're talking on court play, he also missed three games, which is 10% of the season. That's only sounds like three. That was in a 28-game season. I'm still banging on about that. Still hurt. But let's not get hung up on that. Bryce Cotton and the Wildcats. Are we seeing cracks in this lineup? Let's look at it. Cotton's last six games. This is when the shooting struggles have been. And I've been in touch with Nick Town on Twitter. He's the sort of Wildcat aficionado, GM of the Bandits. He says that this is the time of year when the Wildcats normally struggle, but my answer to that would be yes, but that's because they're on the road with the Hopman Cup. We're talking December in a usual season. This is May. I see where your point is, but I don't think it's like for like. I'm sorry, Nick. In the last six games, Cotton has shot a combined over the last six, 8 of 44 from the outside. That's good for 18%, 1.8%. That's terrible. But are we worried? Cotton's a guy you don't worry about. And to quote my guy Mason from the Cool Cats Corner podcast, is it Cool Cats Corner? Yeah, Cool Cats Corner podcast. Download, subscribe now. It's a good little listen. It's only 15 minutes. You people got 15 minutes. If you got half an hour for this one with Andrew and I, jeepers creepers, you got 15 minutes. Mason put it best. He's commanding the attention, and that's everything for the Wildcats. The moment you don't give Cotton the attention, I guarantee he shoots better than 18%. I think he goes off of 40. More importantly, Cotton will sit two games toward the end of the season. He'll get rested, and he'll be fine. So, no, not worried about it. But, you know, top spots up and about, that's where the concern is. I haven't had a look at their run home. I'll do it for the next podcast. I've been busy. Got a problem? Let's jump on. Deng Adel mutually departs from the Hawks. I don't buy it. I won't go over his numbers, but needless to say, they're terrible, and they may be some of the worst ever from a marquee player. If you read the press conference, it's as if it's been printed out by either well, someone's agent. It's the most lightweight, like play nice, yeah, okay, yeah, you no, let's not say anything bad. Are we good luck? I mean, we're cutting you. We're doing the worst thing a manager and a team and a player can do to one another. We're cutting you, but we love you out the door. Psh, come on, don't. I hate when people lie to my face. I hate it. Anyway, the big reason for his play was the niggling injuries got in the way of his thing. Listen. We've all got problems, okay? Every player this season's got a niggle. Tell me Casper Ware's 100% fit. Tell me Bryce Cotton's not feeling the niggles. Everybody's got niggles. There's no excuse for his type of play. The only excuse is he's just not a particularly good player. You know, if he can make it to the G League and stuff, you know, got to start questioning where we're at with the G League and our thoughts on that league and thoughts on Adel. This is a guy who's in the Boomers squad. Whew, someone did a number. I'm reminded of when Exum was drafted in the NBA. Like, just the mystique. I don't know. I mean, and then they're like, oh, you know, we cut him because he's hurt and we want to improve the roster. Well, Bairstow's been hurt all year. He's only played 14 games and there hasn't been any talk of cutting him. So something's up. I'll ask around. I've heard a little bit of a bad attitude, work ethic issue, and I think there might be reason to that. I think I even had a conversation. That's pushing it, but I sent the question to Chris Anstey, who sort of knows basketball, you'd think knows basketball very well, and Gorgian. He just said on the Twitter, yeah, work ethic. Brian Gorgian is not the type of person who quits on a wounded soldier. Surely not. I mean, this is Brian Gorgian. People wouldn't roll out the red carpet. I think Brian Gorgian's a pretty straight shooter. Wasn't in the press conference, but I think in real life he wouldn't do that. But moving on, I'm going to ask more about that. But that was I smell a rat. I certainly smell something fishy. I might even smell a rat, a wild rat. Jack McVay. John Casey put out a tweet, loved it. McVay shooting around after the game, and you know, I wasn't surprised to see him out there. He played under 10 minutes in that game in the win against Brisbane. He's been criminally underplayed all season. 59th in minutes per game out of 100 players in the league, just under. He's always so. By those minutes given, you're saying that Jack McVay is in the bottom half of talent in the league. So every team, there's 9 teams, so 9, 18, 27, bang. Like he's not one of the 5 best players on a team. He's 37th in E difference and 21st in that all-encompassing stat that's not quite perfect, but PER, 21st, 2-1, but 59th in minutes. Please, Adelaide 36ers, Jack McVay is obviously a relic of the Joey Wright era. Just release him already. Just release him so he can play in Illawarra or for Cairns, who are struggling on the win, or Sydney, who are desperate. Imagine if Jack McVay was on Sydney. We'd actually get to watch him play. Just cut him. Agent, come to a deal. Yeah, we'll meet in the middle. I've got a deal on the paper. I've got a deal in the back lots with Illawarra. I don't even know if there's roster spots, but let this guy play somewhere. Sydney is a logical choice. Free Jack McVay. I'm going to read this. This is off-colour humour, but he's being shelved worse and more often than an ecstasy tablet at a rave. Pretty lame. Roster rumours. Let's go on to this. Will Magnette of the Wildcats. I don't know what the eligibility is this year. It's been 7 games in the past. That was in a 28-game season. That's obviously a quarter of a season's games. This season has 36, so that would make it 9 if you're going off a you have to play a quarter of the season basis, but if it's still just the 7 games because that's what's in the black letter rule of the contracts, I don't know. If anyone can work out NBL rules, good luck to you. I think you need an oracle, some blood of newt, raven's foot to work this shit out. It's very secretive, but nonetheless, Perth have played 25 of 36 games, so they're eligible under either stipulation. Yeah, I mean, NBL fans, when it comes to injuries and signings and rules around next stars, they're treated like mushrooms, kept in the dark and fed on SHIT. But I had to laugh about this. Magnay's gone to the Wildcats. And I saw on Twitter, Olgan Ulich of ESPN, a fine follow. Go and follow him if you wish. Reiterating from Magnay's agent that Magnay hasn't made up his mind, you know, whether he's going to play or just train with the team. I thought, oh, please. Yeah, Magnay hates money. He just, no, I don't need money. I'm just going to eat dirt and sleep under a bridge. Give me a break. He's keeping his options open publicly to play off against the Wildcat offer. Like, okay, I've got this offer from the Wildcats. Can anyone beat it? No one can beat a Wildcat offer. He fills a roster spot for them perfectly. They can taste a three-peat worse than poison. He's going to sign with them. And that's what I've heard around the traps as well. Illawarra, do they have a roster spot now that Adele's gone? Who cares? They wouldn't have the money to pay anyone anyway. I want to jump on. Let's look at some previews for the upcoming games. There's Adelaide and Cairns tonight and Melbourne and Perth, I think on, is that Thursday? Decent games. Adelaide, Cairns, pretty average, but everyone just loves watching Josh Giddey. And I don't begrudge people that. I don't particularly like watching Adelaide play, but some people do, and that's agreeable. I think Adelaide beat Cairns, I think really because they're the home team. I'm not going to read too much into it. Cairns are pretty average. But, you know, Machado, I never count out Scott Machado, even now, but they're down on personnel. So I think the travel to Adelaide will do them in. Melbourne and Perth, I've left this blank. I don't know who's going to win this game. A lot of it depends on Landau, whether he's back. Good luck finding that out ahead of time. I think Melbourne are going to win. I think the travel. I think they're the home team. Scotty Hobson looked like there's a bit of return to him. Hopefully they've learnt to share the ball with imports. It's always been Melbourne United's biggest problem. If he comes off the bench behind Sam McDaniel, I'm going to turn this game off. I'm going to turn it off. If I wanted to see Dean Vickerman play with himself and starting Sam McDaniel, there's other websites for that. I don't have to go to Twitch to see it. Start Scotty Hobson, please. Hobson. Next game, Southeast Melbourne to Melbourne. Surely Melbourne are too much for them. If they haven't got Kiefer Sykes back, and we're just going to get a steady diet of Kyle Adnam runners that are, you know, shooting at a clip at about 12%, not going to happen. Not going to happen. And, you know, they just let... Who'd they lose to? I mean, they got murdered by Casper Ware. And I don't know. Melbourne's defense is too good and the bigs are too good. Melbourne. Side note on Southeast Melbourne, Mitch Creek... He's fourth in points per game. Listen to his splits. People don't want to trump up Creek this season. Obviously, he's been tarred with controversy and labelled as a bit of an NBL black sheep coming off the bench for so long. Listen to his splits. Fourth in points per game. Here are his percentages. 55, 48, 78. 55 from the field, fourth in points per game. Fifth in PER. But listen to this. He's fifth in PER, the advanced stat. Behind Jordan Hunter, who fouls out every game, so that's why he's high. Gak, who's a statistical anomaly, because he barely plays. Humphreys, who's only played 16 games. And then John Mooney, who's obviously legit. They're the only guys he's behind. Mitch Creek had 6 field goal attempts in their last loss. 6. That's atrocious. Kyle Adnam, there's all this talk about, oh, Kyle Adnam, start over here, get the Jack Jumpers, run that franchise. If you can't look at a roster and see Mitch Creek on it and go, you know what, I'm going to make sure Mitch Creek shoots it a minimum 15 to 20 times, you are not a player anywhere. Work it out, Southeast Melbourne. And I don't care what you have to do. I don't care if defenses play Mitch Creek too high. Set him a pick. Send it down low. Send him up top. Put him on the block. Make him the roll man. He can do everything. 6 field goal attempts. I nearly fell off my chair when I saw that. Next game, Cairns and Brisbane. Jeez, if Brisbane don't beat Cairns, who are playing their second game, and they've barely got a roster to put on the floor as is, if they can't beat them, I give up. But, Jim, I went back and forth on this one because Brisbane, how are they going to keep Machado out of the paint? But no, if Brisbane lose this, I'm writing a letter to Lamar. They've obviously checked out. He's told them, listen, I've gotten a job in Japan. I've got a job with the Latvia team. I couldn't give a stuff. I'm mailing it in. But I'm still tipping Brisbane. If they've even got a shred of success in them, if Patterson's got a shred of pride, they should win. Sydney and Adelaide in Sydney. Surely Sydney at home. And especially considering Adelaide would have played on the Tuesday night. I forget when this game was. Probably on the weekend. But yeah, Sydney, come on. Casper Ware is just going to crush Giddy into the dirt. Bless his heart. And then Perth and New Zealand at home. New Zealand are not. They are not the type of team to have the fortitude to beat Perth and Perth. Never going to happen. So they're who I think is going to win. Adelaide, Melbourne, Brisbane, Sydney, and Perth at home. I got a couple of... Well, as I said, we're in a weird part of the schedule. I got some sort of odds and sods conversation for you. It's a funny story. Going to Twitter, got tagged in a chat with Liam Santa Maria. We're talking about United's soft schedule. And yes, it has been a soft schedule, but with good reason. There's no conspiracy going on here. The Cup, a second team in their state, and New Zealand being based in, or temporarily based in Melbourne at that time, or Victoria, I should say, in Bendigo. There's no conspiracy. It's just the way things have happened. Do Melbourne get a relatively favourable sort of bounce of the ball? Yeah, they're in the best sporting city in the country. You know, sorry, Perth. Sorry, Sydney. Yeah, it's Melbourne. You ever been? It's gorgeous. It's charming. Okay? It's better. Okay? There you go. It's better. But it did make me laugh because this conversation... the conversation turned from talking about the schedule and a nuanced NBL conversation to then just into a Wildcats, Perth Wildcats hype fest. And I had to turn it off. I got notification after notification after notification, most of it directed at Liam Santamaria, not at me. But I was just dragged into this conversation and it just descended into Wildcat chat or people piling on Santamaria. And bless the Wildcat fans, bless Santa Maria, all everything. But, geez, most NBL conversations descend into the Wildcats, everyone, because there's more of you, and I get it. But please, Wildcat fans, a bit of advice to you. Before you type or text anything in relation to the NBL space on any platform or even just in conversation, I want you to ask this question of yourself. Is my bringing the Wildcats up into this conversation organic? If the answer is yes, bang on. Talk about your team until your heart's content. If you're like, you know what, I feel like I'm jury-rigging in Wildcats into this conversation, then maybe sit the chat out. You know, there's more to NBL 21 than Wildcat chat. Bless your hearts. It's like, I think it's Goodwin or Godwin's law. The longer an argument goes, the more likely a reference is made to Hitler and the Nazis. NBL socials law is any prolonged talk about the league will turn into a hype fest for the Wildcats. And gosh, yeah, you've won a lot. You're the best club. We get it. But please. Now that I've had that rant, now I'm going to go on a real rant. So if you're just done with it and you want to clock out, thank you for listening to the podcast. Patreon. If you've enjoyed it so far, become a member on Patreon. That gives the show a bit more credit. Maybe we can get better guests. The link's in the description to become a Patreon member. Really appreciate it. But here's my, what I'm calling a topic, the NBL media conundrum and an odds and sods rant. Rate and review the people that are on their way out. I appreciate that. I can understand. Anyway, I really hate people jumping on people's shoulders to make their points. And that happens on Twitter, but it happens in conversation as well when I talk about the league a little bit. And I've got a negative thing to say there. I'm not going to do that. Don't want to do it anymore. Don't pull people back to hoist yourself up. Makes you look like an unmanly dweeb if you're a guy. And you know what's funny is, I see this a lot where people say, oh, I tried to send him a tweet or a text and he didn't answer. It's like the same if you ask a girl out and she says no. It's not because she's a bad person. You know what? Maybe you're ugly. You know, that's the deal with it. Or maybe they're busy. Or maybe they wanted to say yes, but they didn't. Their reason is their own. So I hate when people are like, oh, that guy's got me blocked on the socials. It's like, you know, that girl didn't go to coffee with me. She's a bad person. No, she's not. Maybe you're just a dweeb. Maybe you didn't ask right. Maybe you're the problem. And unsurprisingly, I've never seen women on the NBL socials behave that way that the men do. And I'm not trying to suck up to the women, not a simp here. It's just an observation and an honest one. But going back, you know, people take shots at Liam Santa Maria because, you know, Liam is employed by NBL Media and they think that means he toes a company line, and maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But, you know, also, you know, there's a sense of loyalty here. Like, Liam Santa Maria has a loyalty to the league that pays him. That's an understandable relationship, an understandable loyalty. It would be worse behavior from him to then turn around and be, you know, biting the hands that feeds him. But I think Liam turns out good stuff. But people take that shot at him and it's getting a bit tired. And they take that shot at Overtime. Overtime is one show, a half an hour show. There's 9 teams and typically about 20 plus hours of basketball played. Overtime, and those guys, Corey, Liam, and Cam Luke in particular, they're not going to get to everything. Also, that show is trying to be of mass appeal. New fans, old fans, young fans, old fans, male, female, East Coast, West Coast, in between and up north. So create your own show. Put out your own stuff. No one's stopping any of you. NBL media is this weird conundrum. The league can't pay to put out enough to compete with the big codes. And the papers don't put anything out because, let's be honest, not enough people care. And if people don't care, therefore the majority of the NBL articles are about how it intersects with the NBA, which is something that a lot more people care about. The question is, how do you break the cycle? I don't know. And primarily I don't know because I didn't get paid to think about the answer. I'm not the clubs, I'm not the NBL, not my problem, that's theirs. If someone wants to pay me to think of an answer, I'll come up with 1,000 answers. But until such a time, I got a fishing trip, you know. But here's a couple of things that have made this season a perfect storm where, because, you know, the attendances have been low. Losing Bogut has been a huge loss. huge loss, whether you like him or not. The average person cared. He was a talent. But more important, actually, scrap that, not more important than the average person, the average sports media person cared about Bogut. And they, you know, you can't make a viral press conference about anyone else in this league. Maybe Brian Gorgian. The rest, there's no, your average guy covering sports is not going to clip up a press conference from Dan Shamir or maybe Mitch Creek after, and but it would be a negative spin. You know, Bogut's been a loss in that fact, just reaching to that common fan. Amazingly, I didn't think he would be, but he's been a huge, huge loss, both in credibility and then the fact that he's not only been a loss, but now he's sort of turned on the league a little bit. And if he had a problem with that, I'd be able to say, listen, I think, you know, that, yeah, he's turned on the league. And then I want us, from a Sydney perspective, to trim it down some more. The loss of Bogut, I think as a result, and I hope I'm not, I hope the term WOG is still a word you can use, but that WOG crowd is, and you know, when I say that, I mean, so you're Croatian, you're Lebanese, I don't know if I'm allowed to use that word, gosh, I could be in trouble, hope not. But that sort of multicultural crowd in Sydney specifically, I think they've drifted away. I think they were a Bogut fan before they were a Kings fan or a basketball fan, and Sydney have suffered because of it. And you look at their attendance numbers, and I think that shows, and where the, yeah, and you know, where the stadium is located, pretty big. To be honest, all through Sydney, but you know, those that community isn't as rallied. And you look at the Western Sydney Wanderers and the Sydney FC game. I mean, that was pumping, and that's born off the back of that thing. And I hope I'm not in trouble for saying that. Going back to what I was saying, it's not a conspiracy by the major papers against basketball or the NBL. It's a question of numbers. And being honest, you know, having to, I cover other sports, AFL, NRL, NBA, and EPL in particular. I'm going to be honest, I haven't been able to watch unadulted more than a game or two a week. And I've had to really fight through to watch games. And then often I've got it on the background. Sometimes I don't watch it all. When it was in summer or at a different time, all it really competed with was, you know, BBL and a few other things. It's been brutal. And that's the problem as well. People covering sports just haven't had a chance to get to the NBL. And it showed. This season's been tough. Fatigue from the increased cup schedule, playing in the winter, as I said before, but yeah. But it's harder to follow the league because the coverage, it just hasn't been, for me, I've been undernourished. I'm not saying it's been poor, it's just been not enough. You know, why isn't there another foundation club video that Matthew Adekponya did? That was great. Now, I thought that could have been, that was very cinematic. You could do one that's more like follows the team. We played this team, we had this result, now we're going against this team next week. It could have been more like that. That was beautifully cinematic. I think if Adekponya had his time again, maybe he'd do something different. I don't know. But why that happened, it was relatively popular. I don't know whether it made money or not. That's not a question for me. I don't know. But gee, it was a great idea. Why isn't every team doing that? And taking, walking fans through that experience of, oh, we played this game, here's our next game, here's where we can buy tickets. Just haven't done it. And when the cup was on, it was easy to film multiple teams, really missed opportunity. But also, like, all the articles we see have been about a couple of things. Decals, betting money, and then also NBA puff pieces. Jay Sean Tate, doing great in the NBA. Great, good for the NBA, not for the NBL. Jessup could be called up tomorrow. Great. Good for the NBA. Doesn't. Why would I watch the NBL about a guy who's going to the NBA? I just skip straight to the source. So, you know, and, you know, writers want that sort of cozy up to the NBA. It's bigger money. It's more important. I get that. But at the same time, like, there must be a space for actually following this league. Body, this blog, is one of the few places that looks at what happened and where this season is going. Studs and Duds and the few things on the NBL website, you know, game reports, nobody reads those. You know, what's the jigsaw of this season? It's been really hard to put that together, and these games just pop up and there hasn't been one clear voice other than Body's blog about where that's going. And as a result, it's just fallen away, and I'm just waiting for the finals. I'll be brutal. Been tough. It's been hard to get up for the games. And I think the players seem to feel it too. The injuries, the decals, the lack of pay, and then the shooting percentages. It feels like these games are being ground out. But I actually looked at the percentages. This year, the teams are shooting 45%, combined last year 46. A drop of 1%. Now, I could have done those numbers horribly wrong. I literally read them out, punched them into a calculator. I could have hit a number in the wrong spot and totally fluffed it up. No idea. Not doing it again. Don't care. If you're out there and you've got spare time over your lunch break and you come to different figures, by all means, bang it out. But I think that number of 45 set to dip because, geez, some of these games have been... I mean, every time Sydney play, they shoot sub 40. It's absolutely brutal. Anyway, that's my rant. Apologies to anyone. The few people that are still hanging around. What was I going to say? Yeah. Follow the show on Twitter at NBL Pocket Pod. Follow the show on Patreon. Get a copy of Marvelous. Honestly, you'd seriously enjoy it. It's a great basketball story. It's also a great human story about Brett Maher and his struggles along the way, both in basketball and his personal life. What else do I sell on here? Booktopia. If you're going to buy any book, do it by the link in the description. Helps the show, and we'd appreciate it. Rate and review the program. If you're on Apple Podcasts, why not? Rate and review. Write something silly. Write something funny. Do whatever you want. And that is it. Listen to Brad and Body's podcast. Brad Rosen, Body Nodge. I've got a feeling they might have Sean Dennis on this week. Just a thought. I don't know how I know that. But just may. Yeah. Get out. Buy a ticket to the game. Hey, take a friend. Take someone who's never been. They might enjoy it. Thanks very much. Joseph Gore. See you next time.